The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Have you been looking for a place to talk all things parenting? And I'm not talking about who makes the best stroller, but the really important stuff like how to be a better and more connected parent or how to raise children with empathy. Well, you are in the right place, folks. My name is Brandi Jordan, and I am a doula and parenting expert, and this is my show, Dear Doula. I will be giving you practical and impactful tips to parent with more joy, more calm, and more ease. I will also be talking to parents and experts who will be helping us to reimagine what it looks like to nurture ourselves and parent in more gentle and mindful ways. I am so excited to be in community with all of you. Can't wait to hear from you.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA. I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, everyone. NGP is back for another edition of What's the Deal? And NGP, I really want to know, what's the deal with using your platform for good?
I like to say it's a personal preference.
Come on, personal preference.
So this is why I say it's a personal preference. Everyone has an opinion, right?
Everyone.
Especially when you're on social media. Mm-hmm. So anytime that we're talking to talent and there is a political uprising or a hot topic, if you will, mm-hmm. Roe v. Wade, the war with Russia and Ukraine, anything like that.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter, all these things.
All of the things, I feel like it's their personal right to decide if they want to speak out on it or if they don't. Obviously, personally, and I think as consumers, we're like, why aren't you speaking out about this? Like, mm-hmm. why aren't you mm-hmm. like giving the girls
the community wants to know where are
right.
the people?
Right. But I always like to remind people, like, if you have 1 million followers, 13 million followers, and you say something and everyone's giving you hot fire opinions back.
Yeah.
That is extremely overwhelming for a creator.
Because there is a human being on the other side of your
profile. Exactly. So that's why I'm like, give them some grace.
Grace.
Also, I think we've spoken to a lot of our creators, like Nicolette has mentioned this, like if you're going to creators for news, like, that should be a starting point, but also, like, if they're offering other resources, mm-hmm. that's what you should be checking out. Like, Instagram should not be your only point of resource for these very important topics.
Well, according to Google, Instagram and TikTok is the new search engine, so it would make sense that people are searching
yes.
for some type of resource
right.
or response, right?
right?
Resource or response from their favorite influencers.
Right. So I think as a creator, if you are going to do it, it's a huge responsibility. So mm-hmm. you have to do it right. So, doing your own research, one, first and foremost.
Yes, come on.
Providing resources, providing facts, providing, like real facts, like from longstanding news outlets.
Yes, girl. Come on.
Like,
cite your sources.
Right, exactly. Like real sources, not just, your cousin Day Day has said something that you heard.
Not
like
this Reddit thread that you fell down.
Right. Like we need New York Times, LA Times.
Like sources.
Right.
Reputable
longstanding
sources.
Publications. So I think that's your responsibility to the community. Obviously, it's your channel, so you can give your opinion. But just know, anytime you give your opinion, there's going to be something coming back to you, like bad or good.
Yep.
So that's the deal.
That's the deal.
It's, you have to be prepared because, unfortunately, right now, we're living in a world where it's extremely volatile, whether you have no opinion, a opinion, whatever your opinion is, and then somebody's going to give you their opinion back. So it's stressful. I'm not even a creator, and I'm stressed for the girls.
I mean, and I think we have some amazing creators, like you said, on our channels, like Nicolette and Gabby and mm-hmm. Blair Imani, mm-hmm. and all of our creators in some way have used their platforms, Emily Schumann, mm-hmm. Cupcakes and Cashmere, like to speak out on right. certain things. And so I think, to your point, it is a personal preference, mm-hmm. and use your voice how you want to use your voice,
right.
where you want to use your voice, but just make sure that you are acknowledging the responsibility you have to the mm-hmm. community that you are cultivating.
And bring some facts.
Bring the facts.
Do not continue to spread fake news.
Fake news. NGP, always dropping gems. Thank you.
I try. No problem.
Y'all already know. Another famous favorite person of mine, Jaya Thomas, is here to give us her vibes on all things diverse representation, content, like all the things. Let's just jump right into it. Jaya, welcome.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here. So excited for this conversation. Thank you for having me.
Of course, love. I always like to ask our guests, how do you define content?
I define content as either information or an experience that's being shared via media, any type of media, whether that's internet, television, you know, social media. But I kind of put it in those two buckets, either information that someone is sharing or an experience that someone is sharing.
I love that. Yes. Content is all around us, right?
Definitely.
And so who is Jaya Thomas?
Ooh. Jaya Thomas is a Black woman.
Come on.
Originally from the Midwest, proudly, but who has spent her adult life on the East Coast and the West Coast, New York, DC, and Los Angeles. She is a lawyer. She is an entrepreneur.
Come on.
she is all those things. So, yeah, that's
it. Now, you're a lady of the law. The type of law that you practice, what is that?
So, I practice sports and entertainment law. Yes, a little bit of both. Entertainment law is a big word. It can mean a lot of different things.
Yes.
So
break it down for us.
Some entertainment lawyers, most entertainment lawyers have specialties. Mm-hmm. So some just focus on music. Some just focus on fashion. My specialty is television, film, and digital. So I
television, film, and digital.
Absolutely.
Where the coins is at, basically.
I represent, you know, people on different television shows, movies, and also social media influencers doing work in the digital space. And then in the sports space, I represent athletes who have a footprint in entertainment. Mm-hmm. So athletes who may have their own production company or may have first look deals or may have podcasts. So
give
that's
me a little
kind
hair
of,
flip because, I mean.
And I just got it done yesterday.
I mean, and it's flourishing. I mean, ma'am. Team too much?
A lot going on.
We love a team too much. I mean, we are very much team too much at DBA. I mean, all of us are team too much. But I love that the intersectionality of like entertainment, sports, all of these worlds are blending together,
absolutely.
Right? Because before it would be you were an athlete.
Right.
Just an athlete.
That's it.
And I think I was having this conversation with somebody else. LeBron James, like when I think about it, is probably the only person I think has seamlessly transitioned into a, he don't got to pick up that mic. You know, we all know that career path of athletes.
Absolutely.
And we love our athletes that still have careers post-playing time, but like, it gives very sportscaster vibes.
For sure.
LeBron was like, I'm not going to be giving y'all sportscaster. I'm going to give y'all uninterrupted. I'm going to give y'all this shop. I'm going to give y'all this school.
I'm going to give you movies. I'm giving you Space Jam.
All the things.
Everything.
But that is because there's this world of always on content.
Absolutely.
And so you as a lawyer are helping to protect, like your main, like what is the main thing that you're looking to protect? Is it their IP? Is it their likeness? Like what are you protecting?
Sure. So a lot of the work that I do is in the IP space, soft IP. So there are different types of intellectual property. There are patents, trademarks, copyrights.
Break it down.
You know, I primarily work in the copyright trademark space.
Mm.
And so I do a lot of work to protect their IP with regards to trademarks and copyrights. But I also do a lot of contractual work. So a lot of my time is spent drafting agreements, negotiating deals, and just making sure that their entire the entirety of their project, the entirety of their being is protected, you know, as they do these ventures.
Now, I'm going to ask you this next question, and I ask it lovingly and complimentary. Are you a pit bull?
Am I a pit bull?
When it comes to negotiations, like...
You know, I am, to an extent.
Own that shit. Listen, when I was doing talent management, I instantly, like, locked jaw. I'm like, we are not budging on this. I swear.
Yeah.
Like, because there are, and I think it's so important to have people like you that understand just all of the implications of IP usage and likeness usage, you know, for digital talent. Because it's like, oh, you do a sponsored post, then the brand repurposes it on their page, but then it can end up in a newsletter that then ends up on a billboard. And you're like, well, wait a minute.
That ends up in a commercial. I didn't sign up for all that.
Yeah.
Right. But did you read the fine print?
Or did you have Jaya Thomas
that part
negotiating?
That part.
So now, are you independent or are you with a firm?
So I'm independent.
Right, because you did say entrepreneur.
I did. When I started my career, I did work at a firm. And I eventually decided to jump out there on my own. I am the daughter of an entrepreneur. So maybe it runs in my veins a little bit. But yeah, I'm a 100% entrepreneur. So,
and what is it about the representation of artists? Because athleticism is art.
True.
Right?
True.
To be able to like make a dunk or throw a ball, that is art.
It is.
And so what is it about that representation of artists that was like, oh, I'm doing entertainment law?
It's so funny because that was never my initial plan.
Yeah.
My initial plan was to be a civil rights lawyer.
Come on.
Yeah. So
I mean, but kind of, we're going to get to it because you're kind of doing that.
Listen. Coming up. So my initial plan was to be a civil rights lawyer. I wanted to represent people who look like me and make sure they were protected and be their voice. And when I was in law school, I ended up getting an internship with a television show and just really liked it. I was like, this is fun. This is interesting.
What was the name of the show?
Dateline.
Dateline on NBC?
It is. Girl. I'm kind of dating myself though because I feel
First
like...
of all, I love me some Dateline because when they used to do I'm Chris Hansen and this is Dateline to Catch a Predator, baby. You talking about some content? I would spend hours
Never
watching
a dull
Dateline.
Moment.
Never a dull moment on Dateline.
And
Work.
I interned for them when I was in law school and I was like, oh, this is like really interesting. You know, I'm not the type who likes to just sit at a desk all day and stare at a computer.
Nah. Like, yeah.
You know, so getting to do that and go on shoots and, you know, filming, I was like, this is fun. And so that's kind of when I changed my mind. And
you was like, I got to go over here.
Right. From civil rights to like entertainment. But in a way, I'm still, I wouldn't say I'm a civil rights lawyer, but I'm still protecting people who look like me every day.
Every day.
You know,
right.
So...
And I mean, we might as well just dive right into it. Tell me about diverse representation.
That's my baby.
That's your baby.
So 2018, I launched a company called Diverse Representation. Mm-hmm. And to kind of give you a little bit of a backstory, and I'll try to keep it brief.
Girl, give the people the tea. Serve it hot. I like mine with lemon and honey. Serve it.
I like the raw sugar. So just something I had found throughout my career as a Black woman lawyer was that oftentimes a lot of my clients are Black. And usually I'm the only Black person on their team.
Yeah.
So I'm their lawyer, but their agent will be white, their manager will be white, their publicist will be white, their financial advisor will be white, their assistant will be white.
It's like, and it's and just the list like, goes on.
And it goes and on and on and on.
And these are people that they're paying.
I just needed that silence. Because
these are the people that are being paid from your art, from your work, your service. Girl, this is Who's on Content. We go deep.
I just needed that.
Listen,
So, and what I was always frustrating to me was like, as Black people, I feel like we make this industry, this entertainment industry, so much money, but I feel like we don't see a lot of the money. We make a dollar and then we hire an all-white team and that dollar goes right back to them.
Right, and then we get 10 cents when it's all said and done.
And I wanted us to do a better job of circulating the money within our own communities.
Of course.
I want us to hire each other. I want us to make sure that we are represented by each other.
Yeah.
And so that was something that was kind of just always frustrating, but really kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for me that really moved me to launch Diverse Representation was the weekend Black Panther came out.
Okay.
And so the movie came out. Everyone in Hollywood was excited.
First of all, do you remember when the movie came out and we had no toys?
I do remember.
No Happy Meals.
I do remember.
Nope. It was giving a lot of, let's just see what happens. And I'm like, ooh, where's the promo? Where's the marketing budget that normally a Marvel film would get to kind of hype it up, right? It's almost like when you think about the funding of businesses. White businesses are funded off of potential. Black businesses are funded off of proof. And so, continue.
Thank you. So, there were just, and I wasn't trying to be a Debbie Downer when the movie came out, you know?
No,
but
of course, girl.
I saw some holes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the holes I did see was, you know, a lot of people in this town were so excited, like, oh my God, we've made such progress. Look at all these Black people on screen. Yada, yada, yada. And I remember having a conversation with one of my friends who's a Black woman publicist in this industry. And we were like, I wonder who their publicists are, though. Like, who's Michael B. Jordan's publicist? Who's
on content for these press releases?
Who's Lupita's attorney?
Come on.
Who are their agents?
Well, we do know Lupita has a Black attorney.
And she was the only one who did.
Mm-hmm.
So that weekend, I looked up the entire cast and I looked to see who their agents were, who their attorneys were, who their managers were, and who their publicists were.
And you were doing the work.
All their agents were white. Mm-hmm. All their publicists were white. Mm-hmm. All their managers were white. Mm-hmm. And all their lawyers were white except Lupita.
Now, granted, you could do like Oprah, right? Because Oprah has also been called out for, you know, Sherry was like Oprah's girl.
Yeah.
We love us some Sherry Shalott. Like, yeah. We love us some Sherry. But what Oprah said was, I hire the right person for the job.
Yeah.
Which I totally agree with. But I feel that in certain spaces and places, we have to know that the job is available in order to know if we are the right person for it.
True. I needed a moment of silence for that too. But yeah, that weekend when I did that research, I was like, this is kind of ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I started to just ask people around town. I'm like, you know, and some of my clients, I even asked, why don't you have a black agent? Why don't you have a black publicist?
You're like, what the fuck?
And a lot of them would be like, I don't know any.
Right.
So I was like, well, let me start a website.
Come on.
That lists all the black agents, all the black lawyers, all the black managers in this town so that no one could use the excuse anymore of,
right,
I don't know who they are.
You basically created like the black entertainment LinkedIn.
Exactly. And really, at the time I started it, I didn't know what it was going to turn into. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get the information out there.
Mm.
I just wanted to get the names out there so that people knew who these people were.
That
you know
they
what
are
I mean?
Here,
absolutely.
Working professionals, talented,
absolutely.
Capable of representing
anybody. Period.
Because you don't just need... Because we want to get to a space and place, and I say this about businesses, where it's like, oh, that's a black-owned business. It's like, girl, you don't say that about P&G.
Right.
You don't say like, oh, that's a white-owned company. You just say
absolutely.
That's a business. That's
absolutely.
A brand.
Absolutely.
The Lip Bar is a beauty brand.
Absolutely.
Is it owned by a black woman? Yes. It's not a black beauty brand. It's a beauty brand for all people.
Absolutely.
Because when you put that novelty of black on it, it's like it then only segments them to black customers,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because if somebody was like, oh, this is a white lotion company, I'd be like, okay, well, that ain't for me. Because, girl, I need something moisturizing. I don't like no dry. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm
take those labels off of the businesses and allow them to stand on their own. The same with, we have to get to a space and place where it's not a black agent. It's like, she's an agent.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And
she's no longer a unicorn. She's not an anomaly. She's she's an agent. Period.
Yeah. Exactly. And I don't feel like we're there yet.
Right.
You know, I feel like we're maybe getting there. But
slow and steady do the wheels of change turn.
Very
is
true.
What I say.
Very true.
And so because of you, that wheel is turning, right?
I hope so.
Tell me, because it starts with the website.
Starts with the website. And like I said, I just wanted to get the information out there. So I had no business plan. I had no five-year plan. I was like, that weekend, I bought the domain Diverse Representation and spent the weekend at home just uploading names.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Look, give it to God.
And luckily from there, you know, over the past 3 years, it's grown like in ways that I would have never even imagined. So.
But I don't know, ma'am. I'm not going to allow you to claim that because you know what it is.
Tell me.
We have to stop minimizing the impact of the work that we do of in service of others. Because when you serve something greater than yourself, the universe rewards you, right? You live a life of service. Like, I know my life's purpose is to be of service because you can look at the content.
Yeah.
Everything from noir management, everything to me being a publicist, everything to what I'm doing at DBA is to be of service to the creator economy, the creator community, but really also to creators of color to make sure that they have all the tools they need to be represented, compensated, elevated, all the things within this industry. And so you can't really say that you didn't know it was going to be big because the impact of what you were doing was providing access.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I hate when people are like, we got to create a pipeline. The pipeline fucking exists.
Yeah.
Because there are people that are successful. So they went through some pipeline.
For sure.
It's more so we have to create more entries into that pipeline.
For sure. You're right.
And so 3 years.
Yeah. You know, over the 3 years, it's really grown into, we have done so many different programs throughout the past few years. We've done Black executive pipeline programs in entertainment, music, sports.
You had that New York Times. I mean, she wasn't going to tell y'all, but she had a New York Times article come out. Mm-hmm.
We also mentioned LA Times.
Come on.
And Variety Hollywood Reporter.
Come on.
But yeah, you know, we've done a lot of different panels, just different events. And you're right. You know, when I started this, it was never about me. Even if you go to the diverse representation website now, you don't see my face.
Right.
Like, a lot of people don't even know, like, I'm the founder. Because I don't make it about me.
No, you make it about
Black folks. Because I want us to win. You know what I mean? I don't want just me to win. I want all of us to win.
All of us to win.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for where it's going to go. It's becoming harder to juggle both being a lawyer and running diverse representation.
Because what do you think if... You know, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
From your mouth to God's ears. What diverse representation become? What will it become? Let's manifest that. What will it become?
Oh, I like this. I want it to become the go-to for any and every Black person who works in sports and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want it to grow into year-long programming. I want it to grow into being able to give out grants and
accreditation.
Yeah,
all the things.
You know, I mean, like I said, when I started, I didn't have a plan. Now I do have a plan that's written out that, you know, of all the things I want to do, and sometimes just a matter of time.
Yeah.
In terms of me finding the time to implement a lot of this.
And I love that. And so now, is it just you right now?
I have a small team. Okay. So initially it was just me when I launched it.
Yeah,
and I was
trying to
do everything. I was trying to be the graphic designer.
Girl, everybody's a graphic designer, courtesy of Canva. I knew Canva had coins when they started doing their commercials. I said, oh, the girls got some coins. They got TV commercials. TV is not cheap.
I had to do it all. And during the pandemic, I was like, I'm going to wear myself out. So during the pandemic, that's when I actually started hiring people.
Love it.
And now I do have a small team of about like 4 people that work with me on this. And yeah, so they're all great.
I mean, everybody in entertainment that is listening to this, please, diverserepresentation.com.
Thank you.
And I mean, but that is the content that you were consuming in spaces and places where there weren't a lot of you moved you to say, like, I have to create the content where these people can be just amplified.
Absolutely.
Elevated.
Absolutely.
And provided some type of platform where a Lupita or a Michael can be like, oh, I'm looking for an agent.
Yeah.
Or the next, like, young up-and-coming star is like, oh, I'm going to get into entertainment. I want to be protected by somebody that looks like me. Where do I start?
Definitely. And in terms of the content piece, you know, in this industry, I feel like so much of the content, when we talk about diversity in entertainment, it's just focused on the talent side.
It is.
You know, and that was also my issue. You know, like, people think, well, as long as there are Black faces on screen, we're good.
Right.
And that's not it.
But that's not it, because the Black faces on screen are sometimes not narrating Black stories.
At all. That's not enough.
That's
not the beginning and the
writer.
End of this. I need a Black executive.
What did Beyonce say? Don't put Black girls in blue light.
Ooh, that part.
Come on.
I need a Black everything. You know what I mean? And that's really kind of what I'm focused on with diverse representation. I want Black executives. I want Black attorneys. I want Black publicists. You know, and I'm really focused on the people behind the scenes in a way that Hollywood has never focused on.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Black folks in this industry.
And I feel like... And I don't struggle with this. I've come to grips with it. That we have to say intentionally you want a Black person.
Oh,
only
absolutely.
Because you know that it's never been in, a person of color has never been in that position before.
Right.
And so what you have to do is open the door to say, like, I'm not just doing this to just be like, Black everything. Yes, I like Black everything. But I need you all to see that we can have a different story.
Absolutely.
We can have a different vibe.
Yeah.
If we open it up.
Absolutely.
And no longer live in this echo chamber.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of content started to look the same. And I'm like, it's given, I've seen all of this before.
And it's so giving, been there, done that.
Been there, done that. And but now you think about, you know, networks that never had all Black lead cast shows.
Yeah.
Now being like, okay, we need something.
Yeah.
And that giving rise to opportunities for new media.
For sure.
New content.
For sure.
And so what do you think has to happen in Hollywood for it not to be this, like, we're the Black people, but more so, this is a great story?
I just think we need more Black folks in positions of leadership.
Yeah.
And I still think there is a dearth in terms of like the number of Black folks who are able to green light projects.
Yeah.
Able to finance projects, able to bring projects to fruition. And I think we need more of that. And I think sometimes we still need a variety of different voices. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Black voices.
Yes, we need, in like those, we are not a monolith. Like, hello.
In those leadership positions. You know, every Black film or movie or, you know, TV show that I watch, it doesn't have to be based in LA or New York. I mean, there are Black folks who live in Detroit. There are Black folks who live in Nashville. You know what I mean? Like, we're everywhere. And I know that I would love to see, you know, just so many more diverse stories, but we have to be in those positions to greenlight them.
Right, we do. I think I like now, like, and I don't know if it was a conscious effort, but it could be a conscious effort because everyone is being, I feel that there are brands and companies that are being more intentional with the content that they are producing and releasing. And the amount of amazing content from the diaspora on Netflix. I was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. As you raise my prices to $20.
And you cannot share that password.
And you cannot share that password. Although that tweet did not age well. But yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this because it's from, just because I'm like, okay, this is another lens of Black life. And it's not even Black life in America, but just Black life in general.
For sure. And that's a great thing about streaming. Like so many of these like new streaming platforms have really opened the doors for more Black content and more diverse stories. So whether it's Hulu, Netflix, you know, Apple, Amazon, I think the streaming has really opened the doors
It kind of what social media did to the internet and democratizing and giving people platforms.
Definitely.
You know, all you needed was a Wi-Fi connection. And a camera.
And that's it.
And the girls got media platforms. You know what I mean? And now you're invited to come and interview, like, you know. But I think that's what I love most about media.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about content comes from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What content are you consuming out here?
Since we were talking about streaming.
Yes.
One of my favorite streaming platforms, and I have two favorites right now. HBO Max.
Oh, first of all, she's undefeated. Like the internet, HBO is undefeated. If it's on HBO, it's good. Period. Point blank.
Period.
They don't do like shitty. They don't do no shitty.
Yeah, just like the quality.
The quality.
It's a quality. Give me quality over quantity.
Period.
Any day of the week. And for me, their quality is always just A+, top notch. You know who else has some great content? Peacock.
Okay.
Get into it.
I mean, it kind of would make sense. Okay.
So those are kind of like my two go-to, you know, streaming platforms. I also have to watch a lot of shows that my clients are on. So
oh my God. That's what I'm like, I do you probably have to, consume a shit ton of content.
And the crazy thing is, I don't really consume a lot during the week because my week is so busy with work, but it's usually on the weekends that I'm just catching up on like podcasts and shows, you know, things like that. So usually Saturday, Sunday is when I try to catch up. During the week, I don't really even turn on like a TV or.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, girl.
That's my schedule. It's just, I'm literally working, you know, or I'm in meetings. And it's not really until like Friday night or Saturday I turn the TV on.
I know that's right. You like child.
But I am on that. I am on that IG, though. I am on that.
Come on. Come on.
I am on that social. Y'all,
we are on that social. And so in a way, in a roundabout way, you truly became a civil rights lawyer because you are protecting the civil rights of artists.
I love that. I want to write that down.
I mean,
I'm going to steal that.
You have to. You can totally take it. It's yours.
Yeah. And
but that's essentially what it is, right?
Yeah.
And I think that it's so often we look at our lives and just like the content of our lives and all the different roads and avenues that we've taken.
Yeah.
You end up exactly where you're supposed to be.
That's true.
Right?
That's facts.
And you mentioned that you're the daughter of an entrepreneur. Was it your mom or your dad?
My dad.
What business did he start?
So he's retired now, but he used to own radio stations.
Come on. Oh, that was a... ma'am. Black radio stations?
Yeah, he used to own like... And they would play like R&B oldies. So like Temptations, Supremes, James Brown. Like all those type of like oldies R&B artists. So I grew up like... going to those concerts, meeting them.
Of course you wanted to be a civil rights because it's like, those were people, and in my office, I actually have photos of a lot of artists that were very outspoken. So I have Berry Gordy.
I have it.
Sam Cooke.
I love it.
Marvin Gaye. Of course, at the top, I have Miss Billie Holiday. Like, anybody that worked in entertainment and used their voice to speak about the civil rights of Black people, I have a I have them hanging in my office, because I feel that I am using entertainment to protect and speak out for my people. And so I think I make that reference because I think people feel like, oh, you're not on the picket lines. You're not. I'm like, you can create change from exactly where you are.
There's so many different ways to do it. And it's so funny because people ask me sometimes, like, you know, what can I do to effectuate change?
Right.
And it's like, there's not one solution to this problem.
Everyone thinks this is like a picket line.
Right. Like let me just walk down the street and like yell.
And like yell. No.
And that's not, and I'm not saying that's not, you know, that's not effective in its own way.
That's one form of content.
But there's so many different ways. And we need people in so many different, doing so many different things. You know what I mean? Because there's not one solution to this problem.
Exactly. It's like, we need change in food.
We need change everywhere.
We need change everywhere. So we have come to the portion of the show where we do rapid fire.
Okay.
Who's on content for the vibes of your life? And so when I say your favorite form of content, who's on content? Clearly, I know you're going to say streaming.
I do enjoy Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I do get a lot of news from there, like in real time, which I think is good.
I chatted with Damon Jones over at P&G and he loves Twitter.
I do too.
He's like, get to like.
And I'm not even like super active on it. Yeah. Like, I'm not like, I post, I mean, I tweet maybe like once a week.
Yeah.
But I do find it to be very helpful in terms of like getting information in real time.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And also, I find people on Twitter to be witty. I find a lot of people to be like funny, witty.
Because you got to like, be concise with them tweets.
Yeah.
You cannot ramble.
Absolutely.
Get to the point.
Absolutely. So I would say streaming number one, and then maybe like Twitter.
I love that.
Number two.
You need a reset. Who's on content?
Meditating. Which
meditation is on
content. Okay. I never did before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then during the pandemic, some friends and I, we started sharing like meditation, like videos and, you know, podcasts.
I started
getting into it, and that's been really helpful. So I'm still doing that even now.
Meditation when you need to reset.
Yeah.
When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
Podcasts.
I love that.
Yeah, I turn to podcasts. There are a lot of really great podcasts.
Which one are you listening to now? Outside of Who's On Content, of course.
I mean, that's number one, obviously. How I Built This.
Oh, I love that. I do love
it's
How I
really
Built
good.
This. It's really good.
And so, yeah, I love hearing, honestly, when I need to be inspired, oftentimes I like to be inspired by other entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And business owners. And I like to hear—
You're not alone in the
struggle. Yeah, and like what they did, what worked, what didn't work, you know what I mean? And how they made it. And I find so many of their stories to just be so interesting and inspiring.
It.
And so— Anytime I need to be inspired, honestly, I go to like podcasts or even YouTube videos of entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are honestly like some of my biggest inspirations.
Because of you, I can.
Absolutely. And it's not, people don't understand, like it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Shout out to the entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Last rapid fire question.
Okay.
When you need to feel joy. Who's on content?
Spending time with good friends.
Yes.
You know,
a good deep belly laugh.
Yeah. Like, and that's one thing I love about like my friends. Like, they're funny.
Yeah.
You know, like I like being around people who have like a really good sense of humor.
You're like, oh, it's just funny shit. See, it's a natural laugh.
I
love that.
Don't take themselves too seriously.
You can never take yourself too seriously. It'd be like, girl, calm down.
It's not right. It's not that.
Like,
it's not that deep. Right.
Straight side eyes. I love it. Final question, Jaya. Content marketing, content protection, all these things. What's the future of our industry?
Ooh, I think the future of our industry is, I'm hoping, an industry that's a lot more diverse than what it is right now.
Yes.
I think we still have a long way to go. I think we're getting there. We're making some progress. But I still think we have a long way to go. So I would still like to see a lot more Black leadership in this space and more Black ownership in this space. And I would also like content creators and artists and just, you know, people kind of creating the content to be more educated about the space.
Because the information is available.
It is available. And still what I'm finding is a lot of content creators, a lot of artists are solely relying on their reps, you know, whether they're agents or attorneys to walk them through this.
Right.
I would love to see like just more artists, more content creators.
More ownership of all of your art.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, because it's like food.
Definitely.
It's like, I love food, but there's some calories that I got to take into consideration. There's
Absolutely.
Some salt. There's some. So before I fully enjoy this meal. I need to understand. Read the fine print.
All the print.
We're going to leave the artist with that. Read the fine print.
All of it. Thank you.
Chaya, you are truly a stewardess of change.
Oh, thank you.
I am so blessed and grateful for our little friendship.
I know.
And
I'm
you
so
are amazing. And so happy for you and all the work you're doing with
thank
diverse
you.
Representation. And thanks for joining us on Who's On Content.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. This was super fun.
I love it. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.